My co-host Daniel Webb is on the road, and his temporary co-host replacement is, I'm going to say, the amazing cinematographer, editor, Sven Nykvistian, Nykvistian, lighting director, last word expert, camel toe checker, Garrett Sutton is with
Hi.
Us today.
Thanks for having me.
he's my husband. And also, Garrett, you're lucky. This is like amazing because we've got such a great guest today. She is the creator of the AI app called Let's Milk It. It's a sequels making sequels about sequels. and also...
oh my God, let the trolling begin.
and a brilliant, very prolific stand-up. She is the host of Dork Forest. And... here she is, Jackie Cation.
Jackie Cation.
Hey, Jackie Cation. Yay, thanks for having me.
Ha!
I'm going to push it a little bit closer. Yeah. You know what? He's a cinematographer and something about fisting. What was happening? that's not the word.
Wait a second, but, Jackie. Yeah. First of all, I'm saying Cation, and that's not correct.
That's not right, because it's you. People like to ethnic it up. Cation. It's, we've melted the Cations.
Cation.
Right, because we're Armenian, but Wisconsin Armenian.
So I want to start the whole fucking thing again now.
No, you didn't do it too bad. A lot of people lean into it.
Yeah.
You didn't. All you put a little bit of an EA. And I'll tell you this. I have five siblings. Three of them are currently doing Cashian or Cashian.
Is that what Squiggy was from Squiggy and Lenny?
Lenny and Squiggy?
Yeah.
I believe them to be Italian, like the big ragu.
Right.
Because they were, it was the most New York show set in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Penny Marshall.
Oh, sure.
Sure. I always wanted, that's why I always thought of Wisconsin as the New York of the Midwest and Minneapolis, Mary Tyler Moore, as the L.A.,
oh, nice.
Right? Because I thought,
well, see, I'm putting I-A-N on the end of your name because you're Armenian.
Right, and that's how it's spelled. Okay. Yes. And so, and my current album, my last album, except for I did a live album, do whatever you got to do. But that's what I said to myself when I recorded it because I needed something to play on SiriusXM. Anyway, but my last special was called Staycation.
Oh, okay.
Because we were all home.
Uh-huh.
And my last name's Cation.
Damn.
See the pattern?
Nice.
See what's happening? There you
really
go.
Perfect.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Because Cashing In wouldn't work.
Cashing In.
Yeah.
It was going to be Altercation. But then I took out the story during lockdown. Well, and then lockdown happened and Staycation ended up being, and I took out the story where there was an altercation. So,
How far back does your family go in Wisconsin?
My grandparents came from the genocide.
Oh, wow.
From the genocide? Because of the genocide.
And Jackie, I found this out. We were doing a show with Beth. It was an un-cabaret show. And we were talking, and I didn't know, because you have a way of saying everything very very funny, but very matter of fact, so that I had to be floored about it for the 5 days later, that your mom was in a motorcycle accident.
Yeah. Well, and I have done jokes about this, but it's... my father, of course, is like, she had just turned 34. Because the joke I do was that she was 33.
Mm-hmm.
It was 8 days after her 34th birthday. And I had just turned 8. And so I say, I was 7 and she was 33. The age of Christ. Mm-hmm. Coincidence? Yes.
Nice.
Because she was, but she was killed on a Harley Davidson, and we're from Milwaukee, and so we were proud, of course.
Sure, sure.
Right. Imagine the neighbors if it had been a Kawasaki. Anyway, but the but that there's all these like I'm. It's almost like I'm related to numerologists.
Yeah,
I'm like it's not as funny. Not as funny if she's not 33.
Yeah.
And so there
wait a second, but wait a damn second. There is more to it than that. That she was.
Yeah, she was the passenger on a Harley Davidson with a guy named Harold, and they were drinking a lot, and they flipped off an overpass and then fell on the highway below and got run over. Super sad. Right?
Yeah.
So she was Harold's old lady, or what was the deal?
Yeah. My parents were separated, okay. And they were just hanging out. And Harold did not die, though they both got run over. She died. And Harold, two broken legs and a broken arm, two broken arms and a broken leg, whatever it was, for her. And my father had been gone. Like he had, my mother, you know, they were so young. Like she was, I think, 17 when my oldest brother was born. And my dad was 19, yeah. 18 or 19. And so, like, they had the classic 50s romance. Mm-hmm. You know, she got pregnant. They got married. My dad joined the Navy. Looking for work.
Yeah.
My grandmother angry at my mother for the rest of her life because she had clearly trapped my father. And I was like, I don't think that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she died. And then six kids, right? Mm-hmm. So they did not really get along. I mean, they were very young.
Right.
But they got along at least six times. And then I was about three or four, and my dad essentially moved out because, you know, my father didn't talk about it very much, but my mother was very violent. And so I guess she started pushing him around or more. I don't know. And then instead of taking us with him, he was like, I got to go or I'm going to punch her back. And so so he bolted. And then he didn't. She had a drinking problem, clearly. Mm-hmm. And so he gave his money. He couldn't come to our small little town because he was a deadbeat dad. He had deserted us. So, but he would give all of the money to my grandmother, his mother. And then all of my siblings would go to my grandmother's house to eat. But I was too little because I was like 3 or 4 years old. And so my brother Phil cooked for me. And if I never have buttered noodles again, I win. But it was good. It was good work, though. I mean, like my siblings all sort of raised me for those 3 or 4 years. And it's a sad story, but it's, you know, it's a funny story. But it's not, I mean, it's not funny if you want to be. I'm not sad about it anymore. Mm-hmm. So, because like the weird things that happened are still the weird things that happened, right?
Right.
Like when I was, so I'm 7, just about to turn 8 when she died. I might have turned 8. But the next morning, the county sheriff comes in to tell us that she has passed away with my dad. And we're all sitting, and we lived in this 2-bedroom apartment that was just a shit show. The six kids and like my brother Phil's room was the pantry. My brother Terry's room was a 2-season porch in Wisconsin.
Oh, damn.
He was getting laid. It's fine.
Yeah.
He was hanging out with the ladies.
And, wow.
So, but he... And my sister and I had a bed in the dining room, and I wet the bed until I was about 8 years old.
Oh, so it was kind of a water bed.
A little bit of a water bed. to this day, my sister still sleeps on the very edge of the bed.
So you guys still sleep together?
We're still sleeping together. But her wife is not psyched. And my husband is – and I tend to sleep on the very edge of the bed because my sister was constantly kicking me. And my husband will chase me to the edge of the bed so he can spoon or be spooned.
Oh.
Adorable. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, I could not sleep in the same bed with anybody because I was like, oh, I can't. I'm not good at it. I'm a monster. Anyway, but – and he was like, let's just try. And then it turns out he's very patient. I was like a baby bird. Come here.
Right.
Just so cute.
It sounded like you had no, you know, maternal influence.
Well, my father remarried almost immediately.
Oh, okay.
Because he and my stepmother, a great loss to the Austrian army, because she was 26. Uh-huh. My oldest brother was 17.
Oh.
And I was 7. Mm-hmm. So my dad had not told her that he had 6 kids.
Wow.
They were together for 3 years. They lived together for like a year and a half, almost 2 years. And when my mother died, I guess my father went to her and said, yeah, I guess my wife, and she knew he was married, but separated, but did not know that he had any kids. So I guess my father, she told me this story one time, my stepmom, and she said, so he comes in and he's like, yeah, my wife died. I get the kids back. And I'm like, what? What kids? And he goes, the kid. And my father's the kind of guy who's very much, I told you. Yeah. You know, the kids. You know, Terry, Phillip, Scott, Russ, Darla, Jackie. The kids. And then here's where Nancy made her mistake. She married him anyway.
Wow. Yeah,
that's on her.
That's
on
love. Her.
Terrible
yeah.
taste. Terrible taste in men. But she was a great relief. My grandmother freaking loved her, my dad's mom. Mm-hmm. And because she was just over... She was just full of responsibility. Mm-hmm. A 26-year-old who the most codependent. She needed it all, right? She needed, and my dad was like, "Great, I'll be back." And my dad had affairs on my stepmother. And when I used to do this joke, my dad had an affair, because this is true though, is that he had an affair for 9 years. And when my stepmother confronted him about it, he said, "Not 9 years in a row." Nice. Funny, still a dick.
Oh, jeez, yeah. Tacky. But you are still in contact with your father, right?
Yes, I processed all of this, you know, pretty much through stand-up. My last day job was like a admin assistant job. So I wrote like a one-person show in 2001 called Salesmen and Thieves. Mm-hmm. And it became, I think, one of my albums. Like I got about 20 minutes of stand-up out of it because it was just a 30-minute solo show, right? Yeah. And I probably got 15 or 20 minutes of tight stand-up out of it, which is nice.
And your dad was a salesman, like a traveling salesman?
No, aluminum siding, windows, doors, all the things.
Okay.
And then all five of my siblings are in some money-related, a couple of them it's money laundering. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's some sort of sales. My oldest brother, Evangelist.
Wow.
Same. It's a lateral move.
Lateral move.
Yeah, yeah.
And as Andy, my husband, likes to say, Terry's a lot, Jackie. You know, there's like one job left and glass ceiling. And he's like, "Oh, I just want to be God."
Yeah.
He's just super bossy.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to hang out with him.
Yeah.
And so he is now, I think he retired a couple of years ago, and he's now playing pool professionally. He's left his flock. Mm-hmm. He's no longer has his own church.
Oh.
He's left his wife divorced him, his children, his grandchildren, whatever. But he made the Nationals. In the eight pocket, you guys. he's doing real good.
From the pew to the queue.
Right, he's
nice. Good. I was gonna say he had God in the side pocket.
So my father reintroduced back into our lives when I was about 7 or 8, right? And then Nancy came in when I was 8, and essentially, like for me, she was my mother. Right.
Yeah.
My older sister had been previously my mother.
Right.
And so they didn't get along very well. But then my brother Russ had always had my father because he was the one my father still kept in touch with because he would meet Russ, who was, I think, 12, and give him the money to give to my grandmother. And so he was the bag man between the two of them. But Scott, Phil, and Terry didn't see him much. And they were, you know, they were feral by the time Nancy came back into our lives. So sure. It was, so she reintroduced structure.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing, you know.
Yeah.
And it was hard not to, as my brother Phil always said about Nancy Cation, he said, you know, between one day and the next, it was hard to miss Mom. Because between one day and the next, there was milk in the fridge.
Aww.
And it was like, there's food in the house. Yeah, I don't mind her. She's all right, Nance. And
is Nancy still around? Is she
no,
in your
she
lives?
Passed. She passed like 12 years ago because she ended up raised us. Mm-hmm. She took care of his mom and her mom and for like 3 years,
mm-hmm.
3 or 4 years, two to 4 years. I can't remember. And then she found out about my dad with the got divorced, ended up going out with and then living with a guy that my dad plays cards with.
Mm-hmm.
That my dad was like, "Well, now I can't play cards with WW Bob," and I'm like, "Good for her, Dad."
Yeah.
Yeah. Take, hit him where it hurts, Nance. Anywhere you can. Anywhere you can hit him where it hurts. But then she passed away. I think she just kind of grinded her down, you know, it was real sad.
Yeah.
But, so I, you know, I miss her. She was, you know, I was really the only one who really kept in touch with her because she was kind of mad and, you know, she was kind of angry and it was, but the, it's so funny because I have 15 nieces and nephews.
Wow.
And we don't have any kids, Andy and I, but, Nancy would always talk about how she loved her grandchildren. Well, two of my nephews lived about 15 minutes from her, and she barely saw them. So she had absolutely no interest in raising another generation.
Yeah.
So, and I don't blame her.
Or at least of Cashins.
Mm-hmm.
Cashins.
Yeah. Yeah, completely.
Cashins.
Cashins.
Yeah, people say Cashin a lot, too.
It's my dumb brain.
I like Cashin. I think I...
Yeah.
Yeah, like vacation, staycation, altercation. Sure. I can do whatever I want. With my last name now.
So you were kind of a latchkey kid?
Oh, very much so. We were, I mean, it was feral until Nancy, and then Nancy was working this day job, and she, hilariously, there was like scheduled meals, right? She would get up and make us breakfast 4 days, and then Friday was cereal day. But Mondays and Wednesdays were egg days, Tuesdays and Thursdays were pancake days, and Thursdays were fruit in the pancake days, and she was terrible. I never liked pancakes. Terrible cook. The only thing she could make was roast chicken. Remains my favorite food. And then there was a chart for chores and for dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted to get out of dishes, you had to switch.
Mm-hmm.
And my brothers would pay me like $2 to do dishes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you washed dishes, you had to sweep. And if you dried, you had to wipe everything down, I think it was.
Right.
Whatever it was. And one of them had to take out the garbage. And if you forgot to take out the garbage, you had to take out the garbage. It got exponential.
Mm-hmm.
And it got so bad, my sister was in charge of taking out the garbage for 3 years.
Well, this is like the movie with 12, you get egg roll or whatever that was.
Yeah,
what was it called?
Yeah. I think it might have been an inspiration for her.
Yeah. Because they had charts and
graphs and French corners on the bed and a lot of, you know, just a lot of... If you saw a picture of my... We had...
Stay in the same house.
No, we moved to a house that was 4 bedrooms, essentially.
Uh-huh.
It was 2 bedrooms downstairs. My parents were in one. Darla and I were in the other. And then upstairs, my brother Terry had gotten old enough that he had moved out. Mm-hmm. And then Phil got his own room, and then Russ and Scott shared a room.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the attic, and it was all plywood. Like, mm-hmm. it had just been a plywood making 2 bedrooms and then
mm-hmm.
Just an open attic kind of thing. But it was giant, right? And the vents didn't work up there, so there was no heat up there. And my brother Russ tells a story about – because Nancy didn't believe it, mm-hmm. that there was no heat up there.
Mm-hmm.
When I went away to college, they redid the upstairs to turn it into sort of a nice – place for them to live, and then both of their mothers lived downstairs.
Uh-huh.
Like they were like, and they were divorced. It was like lesbians. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
There was no reason for all of them to live together. But Nancy said, I remember when they redid the upstairs, Nancy was like, "Do you know that there's no heat up there?" And my brother was like, "Yeah." We tried to tell you that for about 4 years.
Yeah.
So
what'd they do? Burn trash?
We all layered up.
Oh.
Like, and the downstairs was never above 58.
Yeah.
And so I used to wear a hat to bed because, 60-80% of your body heat goes out through your head.
Sure.
Sure does. When Russ was the manager of the high school football team, the cheerleaders did a thing for homecoming once where they went to all the teams and the manager and the, you know, all the team people and decorated their room. And so Russ got home from school and he goes up to his room and he came down and Nancy was like, "Do you see what the cheerleaders did?" And he goes, "You let them see how I live?" Because we each had like a very thin blanket. I mean, it was like very much like it was the dumbest. And we weren't that poor.
Yeah.
You have to be like Gaffigan rich to have 6 kids.
Yeah.
And have everybody have their own bike.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like, it's definitely, it was nuts. But here's a good thing. So Nancy comes in and my brother Russ had been raised essentially by my grandmother. The rest of us kind of feral. My sister Darla, the only 9-year-old in the world who used to look at real estate pages. Yeah, she was like, and I remember asking her why. And she was like, "Well, I want this house. This is the house I'm going to buy." And I'm like, "You're going to move out and buy a house?" And she was like, you can live with me.
Oh, that's like, so sweet.
We're sisters. As my grandmother liked to say, you only have each other. And we both look at each other and like, we have four brothers. And she's like, you just have each other. And but though she did say to my sister one time, when Darla was about 9 or 10, I guess my sister, what was it? My grandmother said, you know, because it was four boys and then my sister was born. Mm. And she said, when Darla was born, she goes, when you were born, we were all so happy because now there's someone to take care of the boys. And my sister said, Grandma, you're thinking of someone else. It won't be me. It can't be me.
Did your sister become a real estate agent?
My sister is a socially responsible financial advisor.
Wow.
For RBC Dane Rauscher and the new head of the Roosevelt Institute Foundation. She's the board, one of the board. She's on the board and is supposedly gonna. She's fancy. Mm-hmm. She's so much smarter than everybody I know.
You're pretty damn smart. Let's admit it.
But look at her.
Yeah.
If you were to meet her, you'd be like, oh, interesting. And different kind of smart. Like, they're all smart. Yeah. I mean, even my brother Terry, who can be a pill, is a very smart guy.
And your podcast, Dork Forest.
Dork Forest. And I have another one about stand-up with Kilmartin. Yeah. Lori Kilmartin. Okay. We just put it did it about stand-up. Because, but the Dork Forest, 18 years. 18
oh, man.
Years
of congratulations.
Doing it. Yeah. It's
do you do that all
wait,
by yourself?
18 years as a podcast?
Was yeah.
It, you do it by yourself or do you have a co-host?
Well, no, I had a co-host the first 3 years, Joe Wilson. Don't know if you ever met him. Great guy. Him and his wife moved out to northern New York to take care of their parents and back and then probably 10 years ago, 6 years ago. And he did it for the first 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. I think it was maybe six.
Wow.
Whatever it was, long time. And then he decided to go do his own stuff. And I didn't realize how much of the work he was doing. Turns out, a lot of moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
And then luckily, one of my listeners was like, your audio is awful. Can I be the one to fix it? And I said, well, I don't have any money. And then a couple years later, I was like, I'm going to find some money. Mm-hmm. And so now I have like a donation thing. I don't do a Patreon. We do a Patreon for the Jackie and Lori, but I just have a donation button. And I told everybody this year, give me $100.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who listens, give me $100. And if 1,000 people gave me $100, that would be a lot of money.
Yeah.
So far, a couple hundred people give me $1,000.
Okay.
$100. But it's fine. It's enough to pay for the audio. I love it so because I interview people about what they love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I would interview you, Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
About tech, about cameras, and these toys that are actually not toys; they're tools.
Sure, they could be both.
They're both.
Yeah, fuck it, why not?
You could interview me about Lay's barbecue potato chips, pot,
great,
rabbits.
Interesting. I did a potato chip episode.
You did?
Yeah, there was a guy out of Canada. Nope, he went to Canada. He was his favorite potato chips are the potato chips they sell the people in prison.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's never been to prison, but whoever has the national, like it's the greatest scam in the world to provide food to prisons,
God, it's so as you can imagine. Yeah.
And but there is an everything potato chip that he loves, and if you want to get when you get out of prison and you're jonesing on those chips. $20 a box on Amazon.
Oh,
you could just go back to prison.
Or you could just go back to, you could just steal something and then free chips.
The recidivism,
the recidivism.
You know, when you think about it, prison's a gated community too. And that's why things are so expensive.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, you like a Lay's?
Yeah, I like the barbecue. Oh, the barbecue Lay's. Yeah.
I got her stuck on the barbecue.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. She was just a regular, like, plain Lay's.
Yeah.
I was like, you know they make these in barbecue.
And you're like,
now everything's barbecue with Garrett.
Yeah.
Right. And the barbecue comes from, like, some exit off in New Jersey, right? Like, it's a pharmaceutical barbecue, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's from Delaware. It's Dow Chemical
barbecue. Sure, sure.
Oh, that's why. That's why I'm so fucking hooked on it.
That's it. They're not playing.
The orange is Asian orange.
Yes. Yeah.
I've been sniffing it.
Yeah.
You're just like, I just need the chips. Powder. Just need the powder. I found out a lot of the younger comics have Adderall.
Oh,
somebody offered me Adderall the other day, and I was like, no, I'm good. And then I was at a club, and the club manager, I said, I have a headache. She was like, do you want ibuprofen? I also have some Valium.
Damn.
What? And I'm like,
that's back around?
Yeah, calm down. I'm going to take The Advil.
Now, you don't drink or do drugs of any kind. Is that
correct? No, no. I tend to fall asleep with pot, and I used to like hash a little bit for a while. Hard to get in the States, hash.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I suppose if I was committed, I could probably get it. But, yeah, so.
You could ask one of your brothers, I'm sure.
You know that my brother, Phil, when he was young, I've always wanted to do something with this story because it's so funny. He was about 16 or 17. He was just a huge, giant pothead. Mm-hmm. And he said, when he was about 16 or 17, he had a dream, and it was being a drug dealer of repute, just to be a well-respected drug dealer in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
A little factory town outside of Milwaukee. And so he partied so hard one night when he was 17, and he had dropped out of high school, and my dad let him drop out of high school because he was like, but you have to get a job. And he got a job shoveling sand over at one of the foundries. And 1 week, he lasted, I think, 3 or 4 days. He's like, I'll go back to high school. It'll be fine. I don't want to shovel sand. Yeah. And but so he was partying one night after that, and he passed out, and he woke up under a bush.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked, and he decided that he wanted to join the service.
Oh,
this is 1974.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I want to go to Vietnam and get like the hookup of where I can get good opium. Maybe they'll put me in Germany. I can get the hookup with good hash. And
just join the CIA.
Right. Or just literally.
That's what they were doing.
You know, my dad always told all of us about the service. He said, you can just leave town.
Yeah.
You don't have to join the service to leave town. You could just go.
Yeah.
And so he goes into the Army recruiting office and he's like, I want to join. And I guess the recruiter was like, what do you want to be in the Army? And all he knew was Sergeant Rock. So he said, infantry? And the guy was like, oh my God, it's like Christmas.
Yeah.
I get the biggest bonus if you can get an idiot to sign up to just be infantry.
Damn, bullet stoppers, as they call them.
Right, just cannon
human
fodder.
Shields.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so, and then my dad was like, okay, you want to join the Army? And because he was 17, my dad didn't sign off on it. But like 6 weeks later, Phil punched a cop and they said, you can't join the Army. So, yeah, they didn't. Yeah.
See, that's. He's done so many things I want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, just one, just punching a cop. But what were you going to say here?
Well, no, I mean, just. But this is the one that was the preacher?
No, one that was the preacher, he played pool.
Oh, right.
And he put a guy's eye out.
Oh, no.
And he went to jail for that. And then he found the Jesus. And here's the thing about the Jesus he found. I've got some Jesus. I'm not going to tell you a lot about it because you don't care. And if you did, that'd be gross. It's a very basic. I'm not hoping to make a lot of money. It's not a Joel Osteen situation.
Mm-hmm.
But the just very mellow, be like the nice man in the picture. Go get your dad.
Wait a second. You're saying you believe in God. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Not hard for me to believe in God. I also believe that somewhere the Lord of the Rings is real.
Okay.
So I'm very gullible. I'm available. I'm open to it.
Sure. Why not?
Harry Potter? There's no way she wrote that. Anyway, that's real. She was tripping. She just saw it real. And, you know, Dragon Riders of Pern, let's do it.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that I forgot what I was saying.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, we were talking about punching the cop, finding Jesus.
Right.
And then your one brother.
Eye out, yeah.
Oh, Terry.
Yeah. Oh, I was asking you if you believed in God.
Right, but before that, there was something. Someone will put it in the notes. Just email me, jackie@jackiecation.com. I'll tell you the story. Anyway, so, but yeah, it's.
He went to Vietnam, but couldn't go because he punched a cop.
He punched a cop, that's right. Yeah. He couldn't go. And my dad, you know, I guess, like Terry couldn't join the service. He wanted to, he didn't want to, but he would have been eligible for the draft for Vietnam.
Wow.
But one leg of his was shorter. He had a diseased hip bone.
Wow.
And Scott couldn't go. He wanted to join, might've wanted to join, but he had epilepsy. He has epilepsy. Mm-hmm. And then Phil was going to join underneath, but he punched a cop. And Russ was talking about it.
They all found a way out.
They all found a way out.
Yeah.
Russ was thinking about joining, and my dad was like, because Russ was like, I think I want to join the Navy and become a baker. And my dad was like, you have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And Russ was like, I think I'll go to college. and then my sister wanted to be in the Army marching band. And she passed. She auditioned and got accepted. And then she went in to sign the papers, and they were like, just so you know, if we have too many people, you don't get to be in the band. And she goes, oh, I'm gay. And then this was before you could be gay.
Yeah.
Oh, so, sure.
And she was like, I don't want to be in. If I can't be in the band, I don't want to be in.
Right. Yeah.
And so she wasn't in. And then she ended up, because Russ and, because Terry didn't graduate from high school. He got his GED. Mm-hmm. Phil and Scott graduated, barely. And then Russ was like, I'm going to college, so I'm going to need college prep courses. But you know how the counselor in a family is the same person because mm-hmm. your last name? Mr. Hansis was like, your family doesn't go to college. Your family takes shop and works at the factory. And Russ is like, not me. I'm going to need some prep classes. And so he strong-armed his way and got these classes. And then Darla said, Darla and Russ are almost the same person, but a little bit different, but politically. But so Darla goes, I want to go to college. And Mr. Hansis again goes, your family doesn't, Russ was a fluke. Your family, you got, take home ec. And, you know, and Darla was like, yeah, I'm going. And so she strong-armed her way into taking these classes. And then, so by the time I got there, I was like, I would like to take shop and art classes. And he goes, no, your family goes to college. You have to take chemistry. And I was like, what?
The low expectation cations.
Expectation cation. Yeah. It was, yeah. So I went to college and I didn't like it.
But think about fucking guidance counselors. You know, my guidance counselor, I was in, you know, I guess I was a good student, but also I was in every, you know, extracurricular. I was the editor of the newspaper. I was, you know, on every.
Like, how did you get into that? How did you become the editor of the newspaper?
Nobody wanted to do it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And
how big was your high school?
210.
The whole high school or your class?
Oh, my class. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So there might have been 800 people.
Right. There might have been a couple of people that wanted to do it, but I feel like I was good, you know, I was good friends with my honors English teacher.
Sure. And she was the.
Yeah. And she was, yeah. And she.
She was the mentor or whatever.
Yeah. She did the whole thing. Yeah. Sally Stauffer. And it's so funny. I had a really great, another English teacher who was also the drama club teacher, Mary Brickley, and she gave me like my first start in show business. I was Penelope Sycamore and You Can't Take It With You because of Mary Brickley.
Oh my God.
I know. So
I love that movie.
I think so. Oh, I know. So
such
good.
Such a great movie.
But I think because you know, I had, you know, just a single parent, I was always closer to women and, you know, and I was close to my mom's friends. Like I was already like an adult female, and you had just the opposite because you weren't around a lot of women.
Do you have any siblings?
I have halves.
Okay.
My mom was a mistress.
Okay.
And so she, not professionally. My dad was married, and this is what, God damn it, that's what I was going to ask you, Jackie. Like, my dad, I didn't really get to know him that well, and I was always asking questions about my half brother and sister, but he had. And I was carrying on an affair with my mother for 18 years. And so I remember.
In a row?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, in a row. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I remember saying to him, I made him laugh once. He was an optometrist, and I made him laugh because I wanted tinted contact lenses. And he said, oh, you want to be the, like, the Aryan ideal of beauty, blonde hair and blue eyes. And I said, who's experimenting with eye color? You or me?
Good one.
Yeah. And so he laughed really hard.
Why does an optometrist get to have affairs and a mistress? There's no justice.
You know, I think.
No peace.
I think, you know, the wandering Jews. Get their name for a reason, but anyway. So he goes, oh, so do you think I'm the Jewish Mengele? And I said, well, I don't know. I don't really know that much about you. You know, I really know so little about you. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay, ask me whatever you want to know, because he would never let me ask questions about my half brother and sister. But I was really curious about that.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, ask me whatever you want to know about me. And I said, okay. what do you tell your wife when you sneak out to see my mother?
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it.
Oh, right, right, because that will sum it up. And why are you such a douchebag? How about that?
Yeah, yeah, that came later. That came later with therapy. Right. That was another thing I was going to ask you. So you didn't have therapy as a kid, or there wasn't anything that they suggested?
Hilariously. I was talking to my sister about this because after, it was 1972 when she died, my mother, and my dad got all six of us back. And social services insisted that my brothers all go to therapy. Darla and I were considered too young, 9 and 7. Huh. And so we just had to wait in the waiting room while them and my dad and my stepmother all went in and just shouted for like a couple of sessions. It was pretty dumb. And so I never had therapy until I moved here. I met a lady who was willing to do sliding fee scale. Could possibly save my life, this lady. She was so funny too. She was like, Jackie, not in this to write material, not in this to make me laugh. Mm-hmm. I will not laugh. Mm-hmm. It's all going to be sad and real, and you're going to deal with it. Your parents are people. Sometimes they weren't good at what they did.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to process that.
Right.
And we're going to try to do this because you're paying me to do this. And it's this woman, Helene Z. Harris. That's her website. She wrote a book. Crack me up. It's called Are You in Love with a Vampire?
Oh.
She meant an emotional vampire.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. Good.
There you go.
Oh, and, okay, good.
She was and hilariously, she told me she used to do naked group sex therapy. And I said, why don't you do it anymore? And because this was in, I think I had the therapy in like 99. Mm-hmm. 3 years I had therapy. Uh-huh. And she said, well, eventually I realized that we didn't have to be naked. And I stopped liking how I looked naked. So
that's
very honest.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
She couldn't sell the tickets.
So was she like the first person that said to you, this was really traumatic and it was handled poorly?
No.
Oh.
All of my siblings told us. I mean, because the thing is my mother died and we never mentioned her again.
Oh.
It was like no one would talk about it. And my brothers would secretly sometimes talk about her and they canonized her. My brother Russ never talked about her because I vaguely remember this as she used to beat the shit out of him because he was my dad's favorite. And she was my grandmother's favorite. So Russ just got beat up so hardcore and the rest of us got beat up, but it wasn't like poor Russ, you know, you think about it. And then, but
did you know that was going on?
I vaguely remember, she used to hit me all the time.
Really?
So I just remember not, I knew that I was not the only one getting hit. And
Not a spanking, like a...
No, like smacking around the head and stuff. So she knocked me into a radiator and chipped my front tooth. But,
jeez.
But she was drunk. And here's the thing. This is a woman, I mean, if you remember, she's 16. She had me when she was 26. She had six kids under the age of 10.
Oh, no.
And my father was a salesman. He was out making money. He was very much a 50s dad kind of thing, where he would give the money to her, and she was responsible for everything. She was supposed to. Turns out her money skills were not great.
Yeah, sure.
She also didn't graduate from high school. Uh-huh. So between the two of them, he would give her like thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. So she would wash. She wouldn't wash our clothes. She would buy us new clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So she would just throw. So when she died, there were closets full of rotting clothes.
Wow.
Because she would get another check and she would just, instead of taking the clothes out and washing them all, she would just go out and buy. So there are several pictures of me as a child. Sometimes I'm dressed as a princess and other times I'm wearing like a pillowcase.
And, God.
Like, right. And, you know. I was talking to Kilmartin about this because Kilmartin was talking about a woman who was a single mom and she was super sympathetic and she wanted to help this woman and she got her a GoFundMe and she got her all this money and the woman ended up taking $2,000 of the $3,000. They were trying to get $6,000 so she could get into an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And but the money was hers, right? It was being raised for this woman and her son. And Lori was like, why does she take this money? And I was like, well, because it's about to be the school year. And she took the $2,000 to probably pay off as many bills as she could, get him school clothes, And because I remember we didn't have underwear. Mm. My brother Phil used to steal underwear. He would go into like Kmart and put on like six pairs of underwear and then his pants and then hike out. But it was like, I mean, if you haven't ever been that poor, and I don't remember necessarily being that poor either because I was seven, right? Mm-hmm. It was like my brothers like to mention how I had the golden years.
Oh.
Yeah, you always had food, Cation. And I was like, why would you call me by our last name? but yeah, I mean, what happened was I processed a lot of the being mad at my dad. You know, when you're in your 30s,
yeah,
you got to do it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you're so mad and you don't know why. Uh-huh. And even if your childhood was lovely, they fucked up in some way. You've got resentment about something.
Yeah.
And you've replayed it so many times in your head that you're just like, okay, I've got to be able to let this go.
Yeah.
And so through the writing of that solo show and a lot of those jokes, I was able to find things in my father and in my stepmother. Because my stepmother, she didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
She did it for him. Yeah. But there was never any doubt she didn't want to do it.
Right.
So, like, she was nice.
Yeah. But she was young, too,
she was
like
a baby as well, you know? Oof. Yeah.
But so. I think it helps so much. You know, I'm really surprised when people don't want to see a therapist. Because just having someone, you know, confirm your thoughts. I mean, you know, like I'm going to like do this as a plug. Dr. Joanne Barge was so amazing to me because I was saying, well, you know, I didn't see my dad much. My mom, you know, I feel like I don't have great relationships because my mom always had tons of relationships. She's beautiful. She always had a lot of boyfriends, blah, blah, blah. And then just like a really simple thing that Dr. Barge said, yeah, your dad was a jerk. And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's something simple, but yeah.
It's like literally, to put it in a term that the technological might enjoy, it's a drone's eye view, right? Mm,
yeah.
So you're getting,
I understand that, Jackie.
You get it.
I fucking understand what a goddamn drone is. You think right. I'm too stupid? You think I can't understand what a drone?
We get it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, it's just another perspective that allows you to go, oh, that did look weird.
Yeah, that wasn't okay.
Right, because you think it's normal because you're raised in it. You're in a fishbowl. It's sort of like racism or sexism or whatever ism we all have, right? Because I'm in my fishbowl with my halfway decent castle, and all I see is my little world, right? Sure. And if I want to be inclusive or try to figure out what somebody else's perspective, I got to get through the water. I got to get out of the bowl. I got to look at your fishbowl. And so whatever, like there's a huge reveal that institutionalized racism is real or what, you know, like whatever there's like, like when somebody explained to me the difference between not being a racist and being an anti-racist, like an active anti-race, I was like, oh, okay. I can do that. Like,
wait a second. Now I don't understand what that is. Well, here's what bugs me. Like when people say it's literally raining out, you know, you mean it's raining out. Mm-hmm. So you're saying there's not being racist and anti.
Right. The thing is I'm in my fishbowl. Mm-hmm. Not a racist.
Yeah.
Black fish comes in. Asian fish comes in. Perfectly nice. Their fishbowl is being cared for by the this analogy is gonna fucking fall apart. But whatever it is, like you're at the fish store. I have a nicer fishbowl, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I've already checked out, Jackie.
Right, exactly. No, institutionalized. So
you're saying you go out of your way to be like, hey, I'm not racist.
It's empathy.
Exactly.
It's empathy. It's being able to walk in somebody else's shoes.
Right, it's being able
to see that because I have things where I think I like black nerds, right? Mm-hmm. Black nerds, common as grass these days, right? Okay.
Blurds. Yeah.
Sure. But black nerds, not something I knew about until a dozen years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Turns out they've always been there. Because they're people. Just a pile of, we're all just a pile of meat, and we all have different sausage casing. And if I can just meet the meat with the brain on top, and then, you know, like this, clearly, you know, a haircut and a couple of holes, but it's not, you know, that's so, but because of that, society says, oh, you can't make your own legal decisions.
Oh,
right. Because mm-hmm. I'm a lady.
Sure.
And,
sure.
Too many holes. All my brains go out.
And I feel like, you know, being if to identify as a female, like I do, but I feel like more like a rabbit or a dog. But anyway, in a writer's room of all men, it's okay to talk over me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. Right. The fact that, I mean,
let me stop you there.
Laura, I don't know what you just said, but I'm going to repeat
to say, like, 12 words. Yeah. I've been talking I
just want to talk over her as a man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we said about, like, it's empathy. When people say white guilt, I'm like, I don't believe in white guilt. I just believe in being empathetic to other people's struggles.
Right, right. I'm personally, I am not enslaving someone right now, but am I? Right. I'm wearing clothes that were made by toddlers. Mm-hmm. Right. But I don't sell clothing made by toddlers. Bit of a lateral move. All my merch is union made.
Sure.
So in an effort to not be a fucking monster. But the thing is it's so, it's literally empathy. It's just being able to acknowledge that being born wherever cisgender came from, mm-hmm. I'm that, mm-hmm. right? I was, and I do a joke about how when I was a kid, I was okay being a little girl, but I also wanted to be a little boy. And sometimes mm-hmm. I wanted to be an adult woman. Mm-hmm. And for two solid years, I wanted to be Snoopy. and that is right. gender, right?
Sure.
That's just how I wanted to be treated. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't sexuality. That's not who I want to squish with. Yeah. That's how I want to be. Like every 10-year-old I know, or almost right now, mm-hmm. is a they, them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's because right around 9 to 13 is when they get sexualized. Mm-hmm. Children get sexualized. And when you're 9 to 13, you'd prefer not to be because you're still
sure.
a child.
Right.
And you're like, could I be just a they, them, and then hopefully go read this book or go play this game?
Yeah. Right.
And so, and plus the other thing is about being a boy or a girl, it always looks better the other side.
Mm-hmm.
It always, sure. You know, boys got more attention when I was, they got to be whatever they wanted to be.
Of course.
And of course, all the TV and stuff. But girls, you know, if you were a boy and you looked at girls, you're like, no, they get away with so much shit, you know? And it's just like that. And you're just like, well, I think I want to be a girl. I want to get away with shit.
Yeah.
You're like, I want to be, but I also want to keep this thing where I get to do whatever I want. And I'm expected to be brave and an adventurer, but I would also like to get away with a bunch of shit. And girls are like, I would like to keep this where I sometimes get to get away with shit, but I also get to also play baseball if I want to or whatever.
I remember just even being a kid, like I never cared about having dolls. I just wanted stuffed animals.
Mm-hmm.
So I had all these stuffed animals and no dolls. And I think like, people gave me dolls and whatever, and they said, "Look, don't you want to fix their hair or whatever?" And I was like, "Why? I'm not a hairdresser."
I'd like to be Snoopy because Snoopy also wanted to be a biplane pilot. So
right, Snoopy had adventures. Rule.
Yeah,
Snoopy had gadgets. Snoopy yeah, yeah. had it was cash.
He had a cut. He had a.
That's
he had
a great.
He had a stoner. Where? Yeah, cousin.
I think that's a really good point because girls, it's like here's a doll or here's a ballerina, and this is what you should want to be. And if you're a boy, well, it's either, well, you know, for me growing up, boy, it's like you're going to want to be a fireman or whatever, yeah. you know. And, I mean, things, of course, have changed a bunch since then. But yeah.
Most of my time when I was a kid, I would play this, just I would play by myself. I was not socially great. But I played a lot of solo time and I would also take all the stuff from my books and mm-hmm. the TV and the movies. Mm-hmm. And then I would play that I was like Tarzan's boy. You know mm-hmm. how Tarzan had a son. Mm-hmm. I was like, what if Tarzan had a daughter?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. taught her how to do the same things he taught a boy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, yes. And
Jack, I have to stop you right there. That's yeah. sexually fucked up.
Right. But I wanted to be like
Tarzan's daughter? Wait a minute. I'm kidding you.
And then, right. And I didn't ever want to be Princess Leia, even though when I look back at it, Princess Leia's a badass. But she was a little whiny.
Yeah.
And every guy
had a crush on her.
Right.
I remember my college boyfriend was so like in love with Carrie
Out
Fisher.
Of his mind.
It was like crazy.
Yeah.
Okay,
then,
okay.
But I didn't want to be Luke Skywalker either. I wanted mm-hmm. to be Han Solo. And I wanted to be Han Solo's young friend.
Right.
Who then, and then I wanted to be Indiana Jones as young. I wanted to hang out with Harrison Ford, is what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, it's just there's this thing with sexuality and with gender yeah. that I look back on and I'm like, and all the youth today, right? That they're coming up and they're just like, I want to be all the things.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, yeah, we all want to be all the things.
Yeah,
and that's great.
But even superheroes, even like, you know, Marvel and all of it is still, you know, men are superhero, whatever. And the girls, the women, it always feels like it's an afterthought.
Bit of a shoehorn.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
like, they're never the Han Solos. Like, they're never running the ship.
We need to do this to get a tax break.
Mm. Yeah,
make a
yeah.
Female. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think I was talking to you about, because people, I really love that new Captain Marvel movie, the first one when it came out, and people were like, it was just all right. Why did you like it? And I was like, did you like Black Panther, my black friend?
Uh-huh.
And they were like, yes. And I said, Black Panther was amazing. And it's objectively probably better than the first Captain Marvel. Not even probably. It's a really, really good movie. Mm-hmm. It's got a nice arc. But the Captain Marvel, it was just nice to have representation. You know, mm-hmm. And I've talked about this so much in the last, I don't know, 100 years, but my home club is in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Louis Lee owns Acme Comedy Company.
Mm-hmm.
He's Asian. He's a Chinese guy from Hong Kong. He's lived here for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he has always booked a variety of humans uh-huh. to do the stand-up comedy.
That's great.
And the way he just, in the 90s, he was like, you know why I do it, Jackie? I want everyone's money.
That's a great way to think of it. Yeah. That's a very honest way to be.
Right. You're leaving money on the table. You don't have black comics in. It's already happening. 18 to 34-year-old white guys are coming. They're coming in. They love Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's still plenty of straight white guys for those guys. But if you bring in some gay people and some black people and some women and some Asians, he didn't book a lot of Asian guys, which was sad. I was always like, why not more Chinese guys? He was like, got to find funny ones.
And I'm
like, so judgmental, you little shit.
Yeah.
That's
funny.
Yeah, but it's true, though. I mean, there's money in all of those places. Mm-hmm. Like now that they realize that gay people have money,
mm-hmm.
there's so much advertising. You can't.
But then again, you know, here's what I don't like. I don't like when something's advertised as a ladies' night or all women's show and all that shit, because I feel like, what about just good comics? We're comics?
Yeah.
That's it.
It's
not
show.
Yeah, like, yeah, don't give it like we're a handicap in golf. It's just like all you know what I mean? Just have a show that's all women and don't say all women. Just say comics.
Did you
comics.
See After Midnight the other night that I did with Kilmartin and Maria Bamford?
No.
So After Midnight is that this the show that
I don't really care
James.
About women comics that much. I don't watch them that much.
No. So Maria Bamford and Lori Kilmartin and I were all booked together. To
great.
Do that fake game show After Midnight.
Okay.
After, and so we shot it. And Taylor.
What a great lineup, though. What a great lineup.
Amazing lineup. And mm-hmm. Taylor, huge fan of, she's a great comic.
Uh-huh.
And she knows that we've all been doing comedy since the dawn of man, right? Mm-hmm. So she said, you know, so many people were like, it's so great to have friends. You know, you got to have friends on. It's so great that it's three really strong women. And she's like, how about just three really funny comics?
She said that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm a fan.
Yeah. Huge. No reason not to be.
No, yes. not at all. I just didn't know. I don't.
But you don't know. Yeah. You
I don't
know
that
you know.
Much about whoever's new. I'm just like in the dark ages.
There's so many, too. It's like every 4 months I'll meet 10 new comics and four of them will be amazing. And I'm like, why aren't you famous? And they're like, why aren't you famous? And I'm like, oh, noted.
But
I mean, the thing is it's like, there's so much talent, and Los Angeles is obviously a magnet for it. And
so, how did the show go, though?
Oh, super fun!
Did you so on the show? Do you do like a little bit of stand up, and then you do the game show?
Or it's game show, but what it is it's not even it's hashtag wars, and it's like At Midnight. It's like the old At Midnight.
I didn't watch that.
Well, it was just it's essentially they want you to riff on some hashtag or some viral video. And then, but mostly because they have hooked you up with a writer and they give you a bunch of suggestions, you don't even have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You write whatever you write. If you write extra jokes, that's a win.
Uh-huh.
You can make your own spin on anything that they wrote.
Uh-huh.
And then, but in between the questions, there's riffing.
Oh,
which
okay.
is why it's nice when people know each other.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's cool.
Right. Like I think I made some reference to being Armenian and the Turks. And Lori goes, not the Turks again, Jack.
That's great.
And then she made some reference to her dead dad. And I was like, not your dead dad again.
And great.
So, yeah.
Oh, the Ottoman Empire. So what got you into to comedy?
Oh, completely fell into it. And I was 19 going to college. And my sister, Russ and Darla, insisted I go to college.
I love the name Darla, by the way.
Yeah. And,
you don't hear very often.
So I went to Madison, University of Wisconsin, mm-hmm. Madison. And
good town, good school.
Cool town, fun gig. An hour after my first second year, they opened a comedy club in the downtown area, the State Street. And it was in the basement of essentially just like a pool hall and Coke front. Mm-hmm. It was called the State Street Infirmary.
How fantastic.
And it was owned, the guy who owns the Comedy on State now owned the building, but the club was owned by a guy named Bill Kinison, mm-hmm. Sam Kinison's brother.
Oh, that's too bad.
Uh-huh. And so the first stand-up comic I ever saw live, and we never saw stand-up when I was a kid, mm-hmm. was Sam Kinison.
Oh, Jesus.
And I heckled him.
What?
I know. It didn't go well.
Wait a second. Expand, please. This is the Cation. This is the Cation, like, just glossing over. Yeah, and then a bomb, like, took out my car and my van. And then, you know, I had a gig at the just glossing over all the shocking parts.
Yeah.
Right. So Sam Kinison is, it's 1984.
Yeah.
And so I'm almost, I think I'm 19. I'm about mm-hmm. to be 19 or I am. No, I just turned 19. So, because it was September. And I go to the drinking age in Wisconsin at this time is 18.
Mm-hmm.
So my friends want to go see stand up. We get a tiny stage, like normal, right? Mm-hmm. Low, tiny stage. Two tops all around. I'm sitting right here.
I don't even know what two tops means.
Just a little circle table where two people sit.
Two people sit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Two top.
Well, fuck me. No, I did. I got fired from my first restaurant. I was a waitress for 2 seconds and got fired.
Okay.
Okay, but go on.
So, yeah, just a little table.
Okay, got it.
But there were four of us for some reason sitting at it, packed.
Okay.
And it was 1984. Sam Kinison had not yet done Letterman.
Okay.
So it was right before he blew up. But okay. He was huge.
Was he screaming still?
Yeah. Oh, this was the heyday of the scream.
Okay,
this is before he invented the scream.
Yeah.
Right? And so he has a hard set. Doesn't go well. Weird. Right?
No.
No.
I'm not a fan. Not a fan. Never a fan.
No. No. There's no reason to be. I mean, the guy had, everyone has a couple of great jokes. And that guy had a couple of great jokes. But he was a mess. He was a disaster of a human being.
Yeah, I don't like to be yelled at.
From preacher to comic, yeah.
Yeah, there's no reason, and it was a lateral move, of course.
Yeah.
Because what are we doing?
Yeah.
And but he was having a hard set. He's from Peoria. I could not have been drunker.
Fantastic.
I was so drunk, it was insane. Because I had just started drinking the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been told by Nancy and that when someone brings you a drink at a nightclub, you tip $1.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Wisconsin in 1984, that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get a shot and a beer, mm-hmm. and then she would bring it. I'd do the shot and I'd give her $1. She'd come right back. You want another shot?
Oh.
And so by the time the headliner, Sam Kinison, was up, I was beyond shit-faced.
Uh-huh.
And he said something about being from, and the heckler line wasn't a good heckler line. It was just, his timing was a little stop and start.
Yeah.
God knows why. But he said that he was from Peoria, and I yelled the thing that people yell in the audience, which was, so too bad. I'm sorry. Something like that, right?
Yeah.
Your beret's on crooked.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right, just some inane.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then he essentially tried to mop up the floor with me, which would have worked if I would have been sober.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was too drunk to know that I was beaten.
Yeah.
So what did he say?
So, no, he was like, you're an idiot. You're short. God knows what he said.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. But uh-huh. I wouldn't shut up. And so finally the manager just kept coming over going, you have got to shut up.
Uh-huh.
And then he would talk to me some more. And then I would yell something else. And then the manager would come over, you have got to shut up. And finally the manager came out and said, I'm going to kick you out. Open mic is on Sundays. And then I came back in 3 weeks and I did open mic. And it literally, I assume it's what it feels like to do heroin, because I got a 1.8 that semester. Yeah. Because I started doing stand-up every night.
So you must have made Sam Kennison laugh, or you made the audience, whatever your, you know, rapport was, your back and forth.
Months later,
the audience must have been laughing, right?
A guy told me that he was there that night, and that he liked my heckling better than Kennison.
That's fucking amazing.
So the manager knew, could see talent.
Or he was just riffing and wanted to shut me up.
Yeah, and so you must have made, you probably threw Sam Kennison off and he was laughing, right?
Right, or something. Something must have happened just because I wasn't kicked out.
That's so funny.
So, and you know, it's...
What was one of your things? Do you remember one of the things you said back and forth?
It was that Peoria thing. That was the only thing I remember.
That was it?
Yeah.
That's all you remember?
I remember, yeah. Oh. And then like 3 weeks...
If you could push the mozzarella sticks, too, while you're heckling.
Oh, they didn't have food.
Oh, shit. Okay.
That's right. I forgot that Sam Kennison... I just remember now that Sam Kennison wore a beret.
Yeah, he did. He wore a beret because he was thinning haired. And he cared. I used to do this joke. I mean, like, you remember the first jokes you ever did?
Oh, God, yeah, they're terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not good.
Yeah.
But, but even my first jokes, kind of my heart was in the right place. I used to joke about how baldness, I never cared about baldness. I think it's God's way of saying, you got to get that hair out of the way. It's a good looking head. And that was the entire joke. Mm-hmm. You know what that means? Punchline. Anyway, but it wasn't, you know, it was harmless enough. Nobody was offended. And I think my first dick joke was that I wanted men to be at home barefoot and erect. With a frisbee so I could put my beer in his head.
That's good.
And, knee pads and a frisbee.
I mean, it wasn't even that long ago. I can't even like say that I was that good in the beginning, but I had a joke about a bald guy at my breast, and I would say, oh, this is what it must feel like to breastfeed for way too long.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, that's funny. That wasn't that long ago, though, which is sad. Yeah. I still bring that up sometimes. But anyway, Jackie.
Yes?
You're hilarious. We have to have you get back again, and what we need to know, right? I need to know what's coming up, where people can find out, where to go and see you live and all that stuff.
Please. Okay. Please come and see me live. I'm trying to do this thing where you fill rooms. I don't care. I just wanted to stand up. But it turns out if you were to go to my Instagram, you would see me grinding it out.
Sure.
It's an opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to see a lot of clips. You want to see what kind of stand-up comedy I do? Please go to my Instagram, Jackie Cation. If you go to JackieCation.com, you can see tour dates and all that stuff. Fantastic. I don't know when this is going up, but first week of May, I'm going to be in Seattle. Awesome. Then I'm going to be in Madison. I'm going to be in Pittsburgh. I'm going to be in Vermont. I'm going to be all over the country. But if you go to JackieCation.com, which is also, by the way, I bought FamilyPetAncestry.com. You'll like this because you enjoy a pet.
Of course.
FamilyPetAncestry.com. I bought because it's funny.
We bought animal farts.
Animal farts because it's funny. Where does it point to?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh,
we were hoping somebody would buy it. We just have it.
Oh, you should totally have it. Just point to Keitlinger.
But then again, it's like then I didn't realize that you have to get like a release form from all the animals who are farting.
That was the idea. I was like, shit, man. How do we get him to
stop? I know. Yeah. I'm sorry.
How do you get him to not shit?
Here's
ancestry.com was because I thought, how great would it be if someone was like, I wonder if my cat came over on the Mayflower?
That's brilliant. It's fucking brilliant.
Ancestry.com. Or is my dog eligible to join the dogs of the American Revolution? FamilyPetAncestry.com.
That's so smart.
And so it just points to JackieCation.com. So if you go to FamilyPetAncestry.com right now, you'll see where I'm playing. You can watch. I have a couple of new like short specials.
Oh, fantastic.
Like a 10-minute special called Looking Back, where I tell car jokes into the ass camera of a Mazda 6 in
reverse. Fantastic.
I hired someone to put their foot on the brake so it's not a snuff film.
Yeah.
But I tell jokes in reverse. And then somebody filmed the...
I dig it. Yeah, I want to check that out.
Yeah, and then the other one I just was those Don't Tell comedy shorts. So it's just a 10-11 minute set of me just telling a bunch of very old jokes that were never on TV or anything. Mm-hmm. And then they're on my albums. Like I have five albums, but
fantastic.
But they, and then a couple of brand new jokes that if you were to come and see me, by God, you might hear them.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming.
I feel like
you.
I talk nonstop.
No, that's what we want. You're so goddamn interesting and funny and smart. And like,
it's true.
I love talking to comics about, you know,
as a fill-in.
Why are we doing this shit?
If everybody else talks at me, then I don't have to do shit. So
right, plug and play. That's what I love in the Dork Forest too. I'm not pulling teeth.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jackie.
Bye.